Turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Daniel again, and we're going to be looking in chapter number 9. Daniel and chapter number 9 and verse 1. When you get there, let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Daniel chapter number 9, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Bible says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him and to them that keep His commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly, and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces as at this day. To the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, unto us belong confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belongeth mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against Him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in His laws which He set before us by His servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed Thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey Thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against Him. And He hath confirmed His words, which He spake against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast given thee renown, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for our iniquities, the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy voice, thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplications before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. May the Lord add His blessing to that reading of His Scripture this morning. That's a lot of Scripture, but let's turn to the Lord in prayer. I'll try to be as quickly as I can. But I'm dealing with a subject this morning that may take a little time and a little patience on your part in order for me to get through it. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I am thankful for the Sunday school hour, for the songs that we've sang, for the privilege, Lord, that we've had in being here this morning. I pray, O God, that You'd bless Thy Word to our hearts today, that You'd quicken it, Lord, and give us grace and understanding. I pray for power. I pray for unction. Lord, I pray for the divine presence of Christ in our midst today. I ask You to save sinners and, Lord, revive the people of God. Help us to say something, Lord, that will magnify Your wonderful name. Again, I pray for liberty in this place. Help me, Lord, to speak my heart and what I've seen in the Word of God and what You've laid upon my heart to say this day, that it might glorify Your name and stir the people of God. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to read verse number 17 really this morning, I suppose. And maybe I'll turn and read verse number 2 also. He said in verse 17, Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of Thy servant and its supplications, and cause Thy face to shine upon Thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. And then he said in verse 2, In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Israel. I want to try to preach this morning, if God will help me for a little while, on the thought of the attitude of prayer. Or we might label it Daniel's prayer. You know, prayer is not really a popular subject in most churches. And the reason it isn't is because it's not a popular exercise in the lives of most Baptists and most of God's people. But I will say this, until we learn to pray, until we seek the face of God, until we touch the hem of the grace of God, we'll never acquire those blessings of life that God has designed for us in His Word. And God has given us the invitation that we might come boldly to the throne of His grace, and there we can find mercy and grace to help in a time of need. According to Paul, we do not come there in our own righteousness, but we stand there in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus to make our requests known unto Him. It is a new and a living way. It is a consecrated way that has led us behind the veil into the presence of God, that we might pray and speak to Him, making our request known. You know, I'm glad that God always has a listening ear. And God always answers prayer. He may not answer it in the way that we think He ought to, but God will answer every prayer. I don't have time to go into the way He answers them, but God will answer every one of our prayers. I won't say this while I'm there, that there's nothing too little in your life to pray about. Everything in our life God is concerned with. And everything in our life, we ought to carry it to the Lord in prayer. There ought not to be a trouble. There ought not to be a problem. Never a heartache or a concern that we do not, by the grace of God, come to the throne of grace and pour our hearts out before God. I tell you, we live in poverty today because we fail to pour our hearts out before the throne of God's wonderful grace. Now, I think that we could agree with that Daniel was a man who believed in the power of prayer. It was in chapter 6 and verse number 10 that Daniel found, that Daniel was found kneeling upon his knees three times a day and praying and thanking the God of heaven. Now I tell you, my friend, you and I ought to pray. And as we pray, we ought to be thankful. I guarantee you one way to get into the throne of grace is to come a thanking God for what He's done in your life. We're the most unthankful people, I believe, that's ever been put up on the planet Earth. Miss Sandy said a while ago, wanted to thank the Lord for the fact that she was born in America. I'm telling you, my friend, we could have it a lot worse. We're not what we ought to be, but I'm going to tell you, we could have it a lot worse. I want to thank Him this morning that I was born in America. But oh, I want to thank Him more than that I was born again from above. Thanks be unto God that I've been saved by His marvelous grace. I've never gotten over it. Praise God. Somebody said He's going to tell it again. If He'll let me, I'm going to tell it again. Because I've never gotten over that glorious day when Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, carried me all the way up Calvary's mountain and there helped me to look in the face of the darling Son of God. And it was there that I was birthed from above into God's glorious family. I'm simply saying I was saved and I'm thankful of it. Hallelujah to God. Thank God I've been saved. Amen. Thank God I am saved. He was a captive. Listen now. He was a captive in Babylon. And yet, my friend, being a captive there and facing the consequences of a den of lions, he still prevailed in prayer. Here we've got an opportunity to pray. Nobody stops us from praying. We can pray at the house. We can pray down yonder in the woods. We can come to the church and pray. And nobody would hinder us from praying. But I'm going to tell you something, my friend. It's a terrible day in America when we will not pay the price that we need to pay in order to pray. Somebody told old Hanley Milby, said, you ought to write a book on prayer. Brother Milby said, I prayed about that for 3 or 4 years. Got up in a camp meeting and told him, he said, I finally written the book on prayer. He said, it's only got one page in it. Said, open up the front page and it said, just do it. I'm here to tell you, my friend, that's all you can say about prayer. It just do it. It's labor. It takes time. It's hard work. But I'm going to tell you, it's rewarding this morning to see God answer our prayer. For He always will answer prayer. And what a blessing it is when we receive from God the things that we ask of Him. That's a good evidence with His child. He don't pass out sugar cookies to reprobates. And He don't answer prayers for the devil's youngins. But I'm telling you, He will answer prayers and He will reward those of my friend that are His children. Amen. Old Daniel facing those consequences of the den of lions in a captive land. And yet he prayed. Here we are living in a land of plenty, a land of ease. Pray anytime we want to. Don't have to worry about being put in jail for it. And yet we neglect the most precious spiritual exercise that is given to man. Do you realize, my friend, that we're never any closer to God than what we are when we're in prayer. When we enter into that closet and close the door behind us in that secret place. He said, I will, my friend, reward you openly. And we're never any nearer to God than what we are when we enter into that holy of holies and get behind the veil and pour out our hearts to a God that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we might ever ask or think of Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You browbeat people, you can criticize them, jump on them, rail on them. They ain't going to pray. It's an exercise that can only be accomplished through the Spirit of God and His leadership. I'll never forget when I was just a young man and back at Bible Baptist, and I was asking God one day, you know, reading the Bible and seeking His face, and I asked Him, Lord, what can I do to get closer to God? And friend, I'm telling you, He led me to Psalm 55 and verse 17, where old David said, at evening and at morning and at noon will I cry aloud and pray and seek the face of my God. I'm telling you, my friend, it's through prayer, and it's not now lay me down to sleep. I'm talking about a consistent prayer life when we consistently find ourselves alone with nobody but us and God and pour out our hearts unto Him. Some of the most precious times I've had in all my life and my Christian experience has been in a prayer closet alone with God. Nobody around, no sin to molest.
He'll seal out sin and let us enter into that special place. I want to say by way of introduction that there's three significant night chapters in the Old Testament, and all of them contain a prayer of similar nature. In Ezra 9, in Nehemiah 9, and in Daniel 9, in each instance, a servant of God was on his knees before the Word of God, earnestly interceding for the people of God. And it was because the nation was in captivity. They were living in a time of upheaval and uncertainty. And these men were found on their knees in the Scriptures and praying before God. Hey, come on in the house, boys and girls. We're on the brink of war. Don't sit out there and tell me that you're concerned about America and young men going off to war and dying if you're not able to get up off your lazy, blessed assurance and come to the house of God and get on your face before God and cry out to God for the upheaval, my friend, and the sin that is rampant in our country. You want to know what's wrong with America? I'm going to tell you what's wrong. We're eat up with sin and ungodliness today. We'd rather revel and drink booze and liquor and dance and honky-tonk than we would come and serve God. Amen. Our country's going down the tube spiritually. Our country is going down the tube morally. And I'm going to tell you, we sit on our blessed assurance and won't pray. And we talk about the war and how it concerns us. It don't really concern us. Some of you youngins, some of y'all's youngins in here might find themselves there. Amen. If push come to shove and they bring a draft back in, some of y'all youngins might find themselves over yonder in Iraq or Afghanistan or Somalia, some of them places. Now I'm telling you, it's high time that we got concerned about America. Son, I have never lived in such uncertain times as what we're living in America today. Brother, tomorrow in America is not even certain. How this place may erupt in a full-scale war on the very streets of our own nation, and yet the people of God fail to recognize that and divinely intercede before God for their country and church. We can kill millions of babies and nobody cares. Said the other day, 40 million been killed in America since they started abortion. 40 million in America. They rant and rave about somebody smoking a cigarette, and I don't think you ought to smoke. They never say anything about liquor. Never say anything about booze. Never say anything too much about dope, because most of that bunch of politicians is taking it. I read a little article in the paper yesterday about our president. Said the president sets his own lifestyle in the White House. Said people are wondering why his little parties and shindigs are scaled down, and why he doesn't have some of the Hollywood crowd in there that Bill Clinton had, and why the booze doesn't flow as freely as it did in Clinton's days. I'm glad, thank God, that we got a president. Somebody said, is he saved? I don't know whether he's saved or not, but I'm glad, thank God, it doesn't let somebody like long-nosed Barbara Streisand show her hind end in the White House. Amen! Oh, that crowd, Willie Nelson and all that crowd singing their trash in the White House, bringing their blues and their dope in the White House. I'm glad, thank God, that he scaled back the party life of the White House and got a man of some kind of moral dignity that is not afraid to stand up, my friend, and tell it like it is out of our capital. And son, we ought to be on our face of praying for the man. Or to pray for kings, for all those that are in authority. We may lead a quiet, a peaceable, a life with all godliness and honesty. Amen. I'm glad I don't let that crowd down there. Amen. He doesn't need them. Bunch of sorry devils. You know, hey, you think our country ain't in shape? I read where this rap star, I believe it's a rap star, his name is Slick Rick. Slick Rick. They tried that man for murder. Murdered his girlfriend and two other men in 19-something another. You believe, hey, they sentenced him to a whole big 5 years for killing three people. Whoop-de-doo. I'm here to tell you, my friend, hey, we're in a mess in America when good is called evil and evil is called good. Amen. discerning men will not take a backbone and stand up for what's right. And sad even men of God will not lift up their voice like a trumpet and preach against it. But I'm telling you what bothers me as much as that is spineless moron men. Little noodle bag jellyfish spineless men that will not be men of God as they ought to be in the home and in the house of God. Amen. And learn to be men of prayer. It takes a man to pray. It takes a man to be right at the house of God. Any wimp can roll over and play dead, dry up like a potsherd, shut with your face mugged and brought up. It takes a man to come to the house of God and show his family that he's right with God and wants to serve God. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody say, I don't like that. Neither does the devil. Shows you what side you're on. Amen. That's right. And look here. I only have this in my notes. But Daniel made this statement. He said, O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face. To our kings, to our princes, to our fathers. You know what I said? The president's got problems. The senators has got problems. The congressman's got problems. But he said, I'm going to tell you something else. Daddy's has got problems. The people of God, all Israel, he finally said, all of Israel have sinned against God. Son, he didn't cut no slack on none of them, did he? Now, if he didn't, friend, what makes you think I'm going to this morning? Woo! I'm going to try to either shame you into praying. I'm going to try to lead you into praying. I'm going to tell you, praying will pray down the blessings of God. Woo! Prayer life will reach up and get a hold of the hem of the garment of His grace and pull down the blessings of God upon us and upon all those that live around us. I tell you, we got the power to get a hold of God's grace and pull grace down into the grasp of every little boy, woman, boy, man, and woman. Hallelujah to God, and bring the blessings of God into the house of God. Amen. Hallelujah. When's the last time you prayed? Old Billy Schaffner. Y'all probably remember when Bob had that started that church over there in the, where that office building's at up across from the where People's Bank used to be. Me and Bill Stotts, born in Indiana, drove all the way from Underwood, Indiana, all the way to hear one preacher preach. And he preached in that building over there when Bob Lamb started, I don't remember what he called the church, started a church over there. I'll never forget, he's preaching on prayer. And he's talking about one of the professors at Tennessee Temple University, when he went through Bible school there. And he said that, he said he walked in that professor's room one day, and he said he looked under the bed and said, there sat a pair of shoes with the toes all wrinkled and turned up on him, way up, stiff and turned up. Said he asked him, said, Professor so-and-so, said, how come your shoes turned up like that? He said, I got them that way of praying, young man. I got them that way of praying. The old brother Schaffner turned, there's a young fellow sitting on the front row, and he turned, he said, young man, is your shoes like that? That boy's mouth fell open, his eyeballs rolled out on his cheeks. I said, the old, long, bony-fingered man of God done hit pay dirt. Woo! I'm going to tell you what. You know what they called James? They called James on camel knees, son, because he spent time in prayer. Yes, sir, his knees was calloused worse than Brother George Woodard's, where he's been laying all that tile on the floor all these years. Hallelujah to God. There's a lot of preachers, old Brother George, had done that all the life. They'd been running around bragging about how much they prayed. They ain't prayed a lick, but they'd like to brag about how much they prayed, and they ain't prayed a lick. Now, I'm going to say this to you. It ain't how long you pray. It's what you got to say when you get there and how you say it. And whether you're praying in the Holy Ghost or whether it's just words put together to try to impress somebody that's around us like a Pharisee. Oh, the Pharisees love long prayers. Oh, yes, and love to be recognized in the marketplaces. But I'm telling you, and make a pretense of praying. I'm telling you, friend, it ought not to be that way, the people of God. Old Elijah said 63 words and the fire fell. Woo! I don't know how many Daniel prayed, didn't even count them, Brother Steve, but it weren't too many. Wasn't too many. I believe that's every word he prayed. I don't believe he let out or left out a thing. I don't believe the Holy Ghost left out a word. I'm going to tell you what it done. It brought Gabriel on the scene. Woo! Woo, son, I'm going to tell you, we need to pray. Get somebody on the scene. Hallelujah to God. Amen. That's right. Old Brown, Brother Brown called me the other night. I got to tell this. He'll probably come and preach it. But it'll be good to hear it again. I'll just hit it kind of short. He said he'd been preaching a series of messages on the birth for around Christmas. That he started right after Thanksgiving to preach just a studying and just preached a bunch of messages. And he likened Mary's conception of the Lord to the new birth. Christ in you. That's what it was Christ in her. And said that he said that one point that he got that he, when she went up to and saluted Elizabeth, you know, and stayed there a while. Apparently she stayed there 3 months. Because when she come back down, right after she came down, John the Baptist was born to Elizabeth 3 months later. She said she was 6 months along when Mary got up there. Mary had just conceived the Lord. Said when she come back down, said here's what he said. He said Mary was a showing. And said people knew that she is expecting. But here's the thought behind it. If Christ is in you, you'll show.
Amen.
He'll show up in you.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. You don't have any problem saying, Angie, if one's to stand up, you'd say, that woman is showing, buddy. She's a wet child. I'm going to tell you, if you live and ride where you want to be in your prayer life, people won't have any problem saying, look at that man there. Christ is a showing up in his life. Christ is in him of a sure thing. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Boy, either I'm not hitting on nothing or you always dead at 4 o'clock. I backed out of the driveway this morning. I asked Miss Hall. I said, I wonder how dead it'll be the first Sunday after Christmas.
Amen.
Here comes Santa Claus. Here comes Santa Claus.
Amen.
I won't charge you nothing for that. I don't know if I'm going to get to my message or not. We may just run her off here and dismiss her and go to the house. Getting late already. 12:30. I intend to be done by 12:45. Here it is, 12:30, and I ain't even got through the introduction yet. Praise God. Amen. Hey, this chapter now, this chapter is two main divisions, a prayer and then Daniel's prophecy. Daniel's prayer and Daniel's prophecy. And I'm going to mention these things as fast as I can. I think I've got 5 of them, and we're going to get out of here. The promptings to pray. What prompted Daniel to pray? Let me ask you something. I said I might hurry. I don't know where I'm going to hurry or not. What will it take? What will it take from God to prompt you and I to prayer? What will it take to get us on our knees? What will it take to get us calling on the name of the Lord? What will it take to get us into the holy place? What will it take to get us in the closet of prayer and get a hold of God? Something prompted him to pray. That's right. He was a man of prayer. But I'm going to tell you right here, he is praying for something specific. And something prompted him to pray for something specific. Are y'all listening to me this morning? Let's read verse number 2 and see if we can find what prompted him to pray. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Israel. And notice in verse number 3, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication. It is funny when old Daniel learned about the 70 years and their accomplishments in Jerusalem, that is what drove him to prayer. But how did he learn about it? Son, I'm going to tell you this. He understood by books. He understood by books. He understood by the Bible. He understood by the Word of God. And I'm here to tell you the reason we're not praying is because we're relaxed in what we read and we're not reading the Bible, my friend. Some of you spend more time in front of a stupid computer than you ever dream about spending in front of God in the Bible. I said, I don't like that. I don't care whether you do or not. I don't fool with one much. I ain't got a big problem if you in there reading the Bible and studying. And I'm going to tell you something. Some older, some of all this other junk's a bunch of bull, buddy. Amen and amen. Most of them anymore ain't nothing but a line of gossip. I won't charge you nothing for that. Come on in the house now. Had a preacher not long tell me today. Said, Brother Hall, said, I wouldn't get involved in nothing wrong. Said, I've been doing a little chatting in the chat rooms. I said to myself, it won't be long. You'll be chatting with somebody you won't be chatting with, son. I'd be careful who I chat with. You know who I chat with? We chat and chew. We sat at lunch, dinner, and breakfast. Lunch, breakfast, dinner, and supper. And we sat there and chew and chat. Sis and I. Yeah, man, I'd be careful who I'm chatting with. Most of them ain't nothing but gossip. Praise God. Hey, Daniel's secret lay in a right and regular use of the Scriptures. Hallelujah to God. Bible reading and prayer stand or fall together. If your prayer life is lacking, take up the Word of God. Give yourself to quiet and reflective reading and just stay there and read the Bible. And I'll guarantee you that book will speak to your heart if you're saved. And God will lead you into a time of prayer that will accomplish something in your life for Him. I'm feeling pretty good today, Benel. Amen to God. That's right. Now look here, it wasn't just in the Scriptures. But there had to be a revelation. God had to speak to him out of that book. And the revelation was this, that he, that is the Lord, would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. It's time to come out of this. Hallelujah. We ain't done preaching yet this morning. We may be here a while. We may just preach and go to the house. Hallelujah to God. I don't like to get in there. Hey, somebody said you're a marathon preacher. Buddy, it's time somebody preach a little while. They can run the marathon. I believe I can preach a marathon. Son, put me in the Guinness World Book of Records. I like to preach all day and all night. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not talking about reading either. I'm talking about a preaching. But what was that revelation? Daniel was revealed to Daniel that God would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Look here. And it set his heart on fire. Amen. And he set his face to seek the Lord by prayer and supplication. Now somebody said, why? Why would that get a hold of him? Look here. Daniel is now an old man. He's been down there for a while, ladies and gentlemen. He's been living in Babylon. And he knows the Lord is going to accomplish 70 years back up yonder in Jerusalem. And so what he's saying is, he saw an end. He saw an end to his captivity and realized that a new day was about to dawn in the life of Israel. A new day was about to dawn in the life of Israel. If you please, he realized by the Bible that it could just be home-going time. Son, I like it there. I'm going to tell you what will set your heart on fire. To get in that Bible a little while. And let God show you, friend, that we're closer to home than what most of you realize we are. Daniel said, hallelujah, 70 years and I'm going home. That day just about arrived. I'm ready to kick out of here and get back to Jerusalem. Benny, I'm about ready to kick out and go on home. Amen. Told my kids at Christmas, and I wasn't looking for no sympathy. I said, what I've written in my life, I've written, buddy. I can't change a thing. And she's drawing down to the nitty-gritty. And I feel a tug in my heart and a pull from another world. And son, I'm ready to turn loose. And about all I need is for the Holy Ghost to show me in the book at going home time was just around the corner. You talking about setting me on fire? Woo! Hallelujah to God. I believe it has set my soul on a holy fire for God. It's just about home time. I see the Father standing by the door. It's just about home time. Have you ever got in the book and realized we're close to going home? Huh? The Scriptures prompted him. Old Brother Brown was talking to me a while back. I said, preacher, I said, you ever think about kind of staying at home? Not slowing down in your preaching now. I said, just hammer away and preach. But I said, just staying at home and preaching. He said, Brother Hall, he said, my heart's about gone. He said, I could die anytime. And he said, praise God, I want to go out. He said, God done told me I ain't got much longer to go. He said, I couldn't have them. He said, I'm too sick. My body, I'm too physically ill. My body's weak. My heart's about gone. And I'm about ready to go home. He said, I know I'm about ready to go home. And he said, there ain't no place to let down, let up, back up, quit, sit down on God. He said, I come in, praise God, in the fire, and I'm going out in the fire. Woo! Are you hearing what I'm saying? But I'm telling you, if there's one thing that'll set your heart aflame, it's to really get a hold. I'm not talking about just reading it and said, yeah, I know what he says in 1 Thessalonians 4. Praise God. The Lord himself shall descend from him. Do you really believe that?
Amen.
But do we really believe it not happen before we leave this building? I'm talking about before we can say amen. Son, the trumpet might sound. And we might get out of here.
Yeah.
Now look here, second thing that prompted him, not only the scriptures, but Daniel realized that when they returned to Jerusalem, that would be the deliverance of the nation of Israel. Now the word salvation, I'm using it as deliverance. But he saw the deliverance of his people coming. God showed him that his people would be saved. Now I'm here to tell you, friend, get in the book and on your knees before God. If God Almighty would ever reveal to your heart that your loved ones are strung out on sin and on their way to hell, my friend, could be saved by the grace of God. I'm talking about really being saved now. You start praying for them. You don't really believe your family is lost, or you don't really believe they can be saved if you ain't praying for them.
Amen.
Don't tell me you do.
Amen.
You're not going to convince me that you believe it.
Amen.
Or you'd be praying for them.
Amen.
And I'd be praying for them. You'd put some feet on them, our prayers.
Amen.
You'd be pulling on their coattail to get them in the house of God.
Amen.
Somebody said, oh, man, people are, I believe they're lost, but they're of a different faith and another persuasion. They go to another church, but don't believe it's saved. I'd be pulling even that much harder. So I said, oh, I wouldn't proselyte them, I would.
Amen.
I know they're hearing the truth and they're lost.
Amen.
Why would I want to let them sit somewhere in a deadbeat place where God's not at? And where the truth, somebody said, oh, they don't have to hear the truth. You'll know the truth and the truth will make you free.
Amen.
And some nobody ever got born again by hearing a lie.
Amen.
Amen. And you say amen, say this. Well, you say amen for me. Thank you, sweetheart. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Didn't think you had locked jaw this morning. She eggs me on. This helps me. She knows when I get down. She says, get in there and keep on fighting, boy.
Amen.
That's right. That's what she told me when I went to school. Threw my suitcase down one night and said, I quit. She said, you come down to go to school to be a critic. I said, go to school. She said, get you back up to school and shut up.
Amen.
Glad I listened to her.
Amen.
Apparently she had more sense than I did. Salvation of his people. But not only the promptings of prayer, and I'm trying to hurry, but I see Daniel in the pursuit of prayer. He just began to pursue this thing of praying. Look with me, if you would please, in verse number 3, where he said in verse number 3, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek my prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. He started to pursue that thing of prayer. And that word pursue simply means that with deep devotion, intense desire, he consciously turned to God. I'm talking about consciously, with a deep devotion, a real desire, a real want to in his heart, he turned to God, realizing that his time was about up and that God was about ready to do something. We really believe we're going to have revival. I believe we'd turn to God, pursue God. It was by faith in the promises of God that he was drawn to the Holy of Holies. Somebody said, what was he doing, preacher? He's now praying in the Holy Ghost. Jude chapter number 20. I'm going to tell you, ain't very many people ever prayed in the Holy Ghost. I guarantee you on that. He has learned to pray and not to faint. Some of you sat down on the stool to do nothing and you fainted rather than pray. He's now praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, Ephesians 6:18. And he did not ask amiss, as James said in James 4:3, but he set his face to seek the face of God. That's what he said. I set my face to seek the face of God. I'm talking about in earnest pursuit. He said, I've got to find God. I'll never forget years ago, and I'm trying to hurry church as fast as I can, but I read a book by A.W. Tozer, and the title of it was In Pursuit of God. And I thought, what on heaven names that old fool are talking about? God come to seek and to save that which was lost, and He done found me. Hallelujah to God. I want to say, let me stop right there, Brother Jerome, and say I'm glad, thank God, that He found me. Hallelujah. As a little old sheep, I can't help but to get on that. I'm glad He found me as a sheep that had gone astray. Woo! Come out on the mountain, left the 99, but came to where I was and found me, laid me on His shoulder, carried me all the way back to the house, and they rejoiced over it. What's your problem today?
Amen. Amen.
But O.A.W. Tozer had that book, In Pursuit of God.
Amen.
He said, after God found you, you'll spend all your life looking for God.
Amen.
Amen. I remember a preacher some time ago come through here and he preached on somebody better go find God. I'm going to tell you how true that is, friend. Somebody better go find God. We are deader than 4 o'clock in the morning sun. I'm talking about sober face, somber face, straight face, poker face. If I didn't know better, I think the whole crowd in here had Parkinson's disease.
Amen.
One of the symptoms is poker face. That's the way we come to church.
Amen.
Most of the time we're poker faced. We'll name this Parkinson Baptist Church.
Amen.
Brother Morris Mitchell took a church, Paper Mill Baptist Church in Alpine, Alabama. I looked for Alpine and ain't even on the map. Son, can you imagine somebody might pastor a church called Paper Mill Baptist Church in a city called Alpine and ain't even on the map?
Amen.
He's probably 2 hoots and a holler away from Grandma. Amen. And people down there, they probably getting fits. Fit all the way up and down the creek. Hope ain't nobody down there listening. Kind of a little joke there, you know.
Amen.
Not really slinging mud. When I was a boy growing up, that's what we called a creek was a crick.
Amen.
That's right. I didn't know any better. I thought it was crick. I got away from some place and fellow said one time, said, let's go fishing down. I said, where are we going? He said, let's go to the creek. I said, go where? He said, the creek. I said, I don't know. I said, well, I don't know what a creek is. He said, man, you in the country don't know what a creek is. He said, come on. We got there and he said, here it is. I said, that ain't a creek. It's a crick. You know, it's a creek. So I finally learned one day when I grew up a little bit, son, it was creek.
Amen.
Don't charge nothing for that. You think you're dumb. What do you think I used to be like? That's right. Praise God, I'm telling you. That's true. That's right. Look here. He began to pursue God in prayer. Then I want us to look, and I'm trying to hurry, the penitence of his prayer. In verse number 3, he said, and I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplications. Get this now. With fasting and with sackcloth and with ashes. And he prayed and made his confession before his God. Now I want to say, my friend, that his penitence, he had a penitent heart. And those ashes and those sackcloth and that fasting were all outward signs of an internal a heart that had been broken and was contrite before Almighty God. Now I want to say all penitence, my friend, in praying is of a contrite spirit. It will be marked by contrition. Nobody ever got to God proud and arrogantly. But he approached God not with that. He didn't approach God and say, oh Lord, you know, I've been pretty good. I'm not like that publican over there. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all of me. I'm just a pretty good fellow. Oh no, he said, Lord, he said, we have sinned in all Israel. Our fathers have sinned. Our princes have sinned. And he said, we have sinned. All Israel. Daniel, you mean to tell me here is a man, friend, that from his youth purposed in his heart not to defile himself, and yet he said, Lord, I've sinned. But he said, you're righteous and you're holy. And we've rebelled, we've done iniquity, we've departed from thy precepts, we've turned away from God. He didn't say anything about they'd committed adultery or watched television. Just turned in their heart from God.
Amen.
People do what they do, friend, because they turn from God.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That old penitent heart marked by contrition. Amen. These are all outward marks of an internal condition. That is right. The sackcloth represents our spiritual poverty. He said, I have nothing to offer God. Those fastings represent was undeserving of God's blessings. Those ashes simply meant that no, he had no sacrifice to give, but he reminded us of the one that he would make for us. Daniel said, "I don't even have a sacrifice." You remember what brother Farrell Shepherd preached here on Job? On Job and the sacrifice and how he set down the ashes. He never had an animal to use as a sacrifice. So he sat down in all that he had left, and that was the ashes. That is exactly what Daniel done. Lord, we're in captivity. We've made no sacrifice. I have no sacrifice. But all I have is these ashes, homemade, home fun. I'm going to sit down in these ashes and sackcloth. Undeserving of God's blessings.
Amen.
I'm in spiritual poverty. I have nothing to offer God. And we've sinned. But God, you're able. Called your face to shine upon your sanctuary one more time. Lord, I know you'll do it. Get this now. Boy, God, just give me this. Lord, I know you'll do it because your Bible has said you will. So do it now, Lord. Defer not. When he said defer not, he said, my God, do it ASAP. Do it ASAP. And that ought to be our heart's desire, friend. If we know there's a better day. How many in here folks believe there's a better day coming? Well, we ask Him for it. Now. Right now. Somebody said, oh, wait. I don't want to wait. Paul said in Hebrews, when He comes, He will not tarry. John said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Why? There's a better day coming. Woo! Son, I wish somebody would help Brother Hall. There is a better day coming, Brother Shelby. Just around the corner. There's a better. Why not ask Him to hurry it up? Son, I'm going to tell you, when I was a kid and I knew Christmas time was coming, that's the only time of the year we got tangerines and peanuts and oranges and candy. That's tripe candy, and that's about all we ever got. I remember one year me and my brother, 4 years older than me, Mama and Daddy got us a football to divide amongst both of us. And it was one of them 49-cent rubber job. Are you listening? Hey, but I'm going to tell you back then, son, I just about set up all night long, get them bug eyes. Mama would let them lights burn on that Christmas tree, and I'd just sit there and them lights would flash, and every time they'd flash, I'd say, won't be long now. Be in the morning coming, and I knew we always got a big meal. Son, I'm going to say we eat blackberries and biscuits most of the time, but I knew on that day Mama somehow scrounged out a ham or a chicken, a big fat hen, or a little bit of turkey or something like that. Boy, a meatloaf, we'd have a, woo, hallelujah to God. Wouldn't be Kentucky around on that Christmas day. Mama spread the table, son, with the best you had. And I couldn't wait. I knew there's a better day coming. Son, I'm going to tell you how much more shouldn't you and I know that day's coming today. But Simon will sit down with Abraham or with Isaac and Jacob around that marriage supper in the sky. And he'll guide himself and serve us with sweet manna all around. Hallelujah to God. Now I'm telling you, we ought to pray and seek God for the better day that's coming. Just around the corner. On the horizon. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Woo, woo. Amen. Yeah. It was marked by confession. He recognized and confessed that Israel's spiritual condition was preventing the Lord from blessing His people. And it is. Our spiritual condition is preventing Him from blessing us today. That's right. He saw Himself through the eyes of God in verse 5. He said, we've sinned. We've committed iniquity. We've done wickedly. We've rebelled. We've departed from His law. Hey, as Daniel meditated upon the Lord with all of His glory and perfection, his own heart became dark against the pure, spotless white a background of a holy God. Now, I'm going to tell you what our problem is today. We've never sat down and meditated on Him.
Amen
to God. You know, hey, folks want to measure themselves with somebody else. Well, I'm not as good as old so-and-so. Well, praise God, that fella. Well, I seen him one day in a pair of Bermuda shorts, and I don't think you ought to wear them. Thank you. I don't think you're too swift if you do. I seen old sister so-and-so with a slit up her dress tail. I don't think you ought to do that either. Well, I'm going to take some praise. God, old so-and-so got television in his house. I don't think you ought to have one in your house. I ain't got none. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm not measuring myself to them people.
Amen.
Oh, I'm pretty good when I compare myself to them folks. But I'm going to tell you what, when you stand my old dark and sinful carcass to the and put the pure, holy, white Spirit of God in the background, Joe, yes, I'm going to tell you, I begin to look mighty sinful, son. You can take a little old speck of black and lay it on this maroon carpet and it won't look too awful bad. I'm going to tell you, son, you take it and lay it down on something pure white, lily white, and it'll show up, son, and look like a lump of coal. Old Daniel probably thought, I'm pretty good, but when he compared himself to God and saw the holiness of God, he said, I'm nothing but a hunk of coal in the presence of God. I'm going to tell you something. Y'all may not be liking this preaching, but God is. Holy Ghost liking it. I know that He's liking it. Because He done give me a sugar cookie this morning. Whoop! Amen. Hallelujah. I got two more points. We're about done. Three more points. The petition of His prayer. That is what He was seeking the Lord for. What was He really praying for? Is everybody with me now? Verse number 17. Read it with me. Now therefore, O Lord, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications and cause thy face to shine upon your servant. Is that what that says? Cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate. For the Lord's sake. Brother Mark probably know anything at all. If I can break it down into modern day terms, Daniel said, Lord, the house of God is in bad shape.
Amen.
We are desolate. There's no prayer going on back yonder in Jerusalem, Lord. There's no worship back yonder in Jerusalem, Lord. There's no sacrifice back yonder in Jerusalem, Lord. We're desolate. Cause your face to shine upon the sanctuary. And then he said, Lord, and not for me. I don't even deserve it, but for your sake.
Amen.
Do it that you will be glorified.
Amen.
I guarantee we'll get something done, friend, when we start praying and doing things that He might be glorified. I guarantee 99.9% of all that we do, Brother Robert, we do or ask or pray for us.
Amen.
Not that He might be glorified. I'm going to tell you, friend, you know what will glorify Him? For heaven to come down.
Amen.
And glory fill this place. Not
Amen.
My soul. He's already filled my soul. I'd like for Him to fill this place. Somebody asked me last week, they said, Preacher, said you was preaching on getting over in the promised land. Said they some folks that say they're reading their Bible and they're enjoying the presence of God and they're praying and they're having a better time with God than what they've ever had. Said they're kind of wondering, you know, what you mean by getting on over there? What is it? I mean, they feel like they may be over there. Well, I'm going to tell you what. I would imagine that Joshua and Caleb felt like they experienced in their heart being over there too. But they couldn't get over there till the rest of the crowd went with them.
Amen.
So the rest of the crowd held them back from getting there. Can you get a hold of that?
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you, I believe out yonder in the wilderness while the rest of that crowd was a mully grubbing, old Joshua, I want that mountain.
Amen.
I want that mountain. Caleb, what are you singing for here in the wilderness? Well, I want that mountain. You want a mountain and we're in a wilderness and people are dying all around us. Don't you know that you're going to die in the wilderness? Not me, Buckwheat.
Amen.
Moses said, I can have that mountain. And I believe God let all men be alive. I believe God. I'm going to tell you why he could sing, son, I want that mountain in the wilderness. Because it already tasted the milk and honey over on the other side. And it already experienced the promise of God. God told him he could have it. And he knew he was going to get it.
Amen.
So those of you that may be experiencing a good time, keep on experiencing it. Just enjoy God. Hallelujah to God. Let the good times roll. And I don't know, I don't have any idea who it was. But if you'd like to get her on in here a little bit this morning, just stand up, wire hoop a couple of times. Son, we'll get her in the parking lot right now. I'm a feeling quite saved this morning. Woo! Hallelujah to God. We'll get her out in the street a while this morning if you want to. If there's four or five of you feel that way, we'll get her on up around Walmart, out in their parking lot a little bit. Get up to McDonald's around the traffic light and out in the streets, son, have a time. Let the rest of the crowd sit and mullygrub. But if God's a blessing you, let her out, buddy. Let her out. Open up and let her fly. And I'll guarantee you, son, if Brother Hall sees the fire, I'm going to fan it. I've been trying to fan Jerome, but I'm telling you, he's a backslidden. You backslidden devil, you.
Praise God, Lord,
if this had been a year ago, you'd have been up running, praise God, a shout, a jump up and down. Brother Doug took a lap the other night. You just stood up there in the choir. Huh? I don't know what the problem is. I am. No, that's the point I'm trying to make. Everybody can't. But everybody can, would. Then I guarantee there'd be some other folks follow suit. What's your problem? What are you yawning about? Ain't you gonna go to sleep yet? Amen. All right. Two more little points and we're done. There's the power of prayer. This may be the last point. This is the last point. The power of prayer. The power of prayer. He said, yea, while I was praying. In verse number 21. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer. Even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being called to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come to give thee skill and understanding. Notice, hey, that while he was praying, somebody touched me. Somebody touched me. How's that to help me, sis? Fine, but now I can see. Somebody touched him. Somebody touched him. When? While he was praying. Oh. Son, have you ever, them old timers used to get up and say, well, we're going to wait this morning till I get to touch. We'll see if God will touch this morning. Son, I'm telling you, wow. Daniel was a praying. Daniel got the touch. He touched me. He didn't touch somebody else. He touched me. He touched me, Daniel said. He touched me. While I was praying, he touched me. Thank God. Thank God the Holy Ghost. Gabriel, well, as an angel Gabriel, he said he touched me. I want you to notice. Somebody tell me, you got your Bible open there? What time was it he got touched? Evening oblation. Anybody here know what time that is? Huh? Evening oblation, ladies and gentlemen, is at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. It was. That was, and 3 p.m., by the way, is the ninth hour. It was the ninth hour that Peter and John went up to the temple to pray. In Acts chapter number 3. And that old blind man said, alms. Old Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And the fellow got up and done the skip right on in the house of God. Walking and leaping and praising God into the house of God. That was done at the evening oblation at the ninth hour. May I say that it was at the ninth hour that Cornelius prayed and God answered his prayer. Amen. And sent Peter that the Gentiles might receive the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to tell you what, here's the one I like more than any of them. From the sixth unto the ninth hour, there was darkness.
over all the land.
And he in the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice.
He gave up the ghost. The evening sacrifice was given at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Jesus died at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to start tomorrow and start praying at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. See if anybody wants to pray. Oh, you wouldn't, preacher. Oh, yes, I would. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon. This Monday through this Saturday. The evening sacrifice. I know some of you can't make it. And I know many of you won't make it. But I believe the Holy Ghost will make it.
Amen.
And look here. He said he touched me. And in that next verse he said he informed me. He said, here's what's going on, Daniel. Somebody said, preacher, I wish I knew what was going on in my life. Have you prayed?
Amen.
He will tell you. Somebody said, I prayed. Got your ears on, little buddy? I stepped on mine up here last night. My new ears, that is, my hearing aids. Dropped them out of my pocket and stepped on them. I was about like Brother Mike talking about that fellow with that lip, Brother Jerome. Carpet burns on his lower lip, dropped his lip, stepped on it. Prayer. Daniel's prayer. Daniel's attitude of prayer. Wonder what kind of attitude we got. Let's stand together.